Blog Talk Radio.
And we're back here in the second half here in Dowdy Stadium, and a turnover for the Siren as the Quake.
Yeah, that's an interception. It's Lizard stepped in front of the ball and picked off Chanel Powers' pass, returning it to midfield. It's going to be spotted right around the 47-yard line. Now, the Sirens had possession at the beginning of the game, at the beginning of the half here. Ran a couple of plays. Number 22 carried the ball for 11 yards, and then Quan carried for 8, got it to about midfield, and now number one, Elizabeth Martinez, has just picked off the ball, putting the Quake in business with 13:30 remaining in the third quarter.
And that's our IWFL expert, Boo, joining us here in the booth. Good to have Boo alongside for the second half of tonight's game. And this one, as we were talking during the half, Boo, a lot closer than anyone anticipated.
Indeed it is. Here's Koontz under center. Hands the ball off to Singletary, who takes it to the right, takes it to the left, sweep, and a gain of about 4 yards on that play.
So coming off the interception, the Quake able to take it into Siren territory. And, you know, Boo, after that near score on the last drive of the first half,
right,
you have to think they're going to come out of the block shooting hard here.
Yeah, that's true. And I was thinking it might be a little disadvantage to them that they were on defense first, and here the defense turns it over and gives the offense another chance. Here's a handoff again. That's to Poppy, number 17, for no gain. She's stuffed right in the middle on the line of scrimmage.
And it seems like both teams have been having a difficult time rushing down the middle. I mean, the defensive line has held up on both sides.
That's very true. Yeah, I noticed that in the first half. The defensive lines for both teams are really stuffing that middle run. But both the teams have found some success running to the outsides, particularly the Sirens, who typically line up in that double wing formation. They get to the outside, they can get loose and gain some yards that way.
We definitely saw a Siren exploiting the left-hand side, so we'll look to them to try and run that left-hand side again in the second half.
Here we go. Koontz is under center now. And here's a pitch to Singletary, who takes it to the right side. And that's a minimal gain. She might have gotten back to the line of scrimmage. That was a 3rd and 5 play. That'll make it 4th down now.
So, Boo, given the way that the passing game, you know, really didn't work out very well for the Quake in the first half, they did have that one strong completion. I mean, do you think they're going to continue to keep going back to Jones, or do you think they're going to try some other options?
I think they have to keep trying it, but the Quake have really turned primarily into a running team. in the past couple of games. They have some very powerful runners that were defensive players last year. Here's the punt. Grant is back to a punt from her own 40. And it's up. And
gets a favorable bounce for the Quake down to about the 30-yard line.
Yeah, the Quake will down that one at the Sacramento's 30. And with 11:30 on the clock, Sacramento still holds a 12-0 lead and will take over on offense here.
So, Boo, you played for many years. I mean, what is going through the minds of the Quake right now, knowing that they really got blown out last time they played this team, but now they're in the second half. It's a two-possession game. They have to be feeling good about where they stand right now.
Well, that's true. I wouldn't say I played for many years. I only played for three, but I was on the first 3 years of the inaugural team of the Quake, 2001, 2002, 2003. Here's the Sirens play, and that gets stuffed in the middle right there. That looked like the handoff came a little late and the timing was off. I think that was Quan, the ball carrier. Yeah, so, you know, from a former player's perspective, everybody knows that I'm a huge Quake fanatic, and I'll always be rooting for my girls. Here goes. The Sirens go with a quick snap here. Chanel Powers under center. Motion, and she hands the ball off to, who's that, number 23, gets stuffed right in the middle. Number 22, the ball carrier, and a little crossbuck play there. That's Ashley Sharp.
And, again, looks like a little hurry-up offense here, but no go down the center. And we'll see if they try to run it out to the outside.
Well, that's double motion. That should be a penalty.
And there is a flag on the play.
The ball carrier is takes it about 8 yards, but there is a flag on the play. Two Sirens were in motion at one time right at the snap of the ball.
So this one probably going to get called back. The ball sits at the 40-yard line right now, but looks like it's going to
– Yeah, so the Sirens are coming out here on their first possession and running a little bit of a hurry-up offense, trying to catch the Quake off guard here. And the Quake are really standing up to it. The defensive line is doing a great job on stopping the run, especially the run to the middle. And the Sirens are very typically a running team. They are known for, you know, running those big blast plays, you know, with the power running through the middle, and Quake is stuffing that tonight.
How do you feel, Boo, about Singletary on the offensive side? How's her running game look tonight?
You know, she's looking a little tentative with her runs, and I think, you know, she can do a little better, and she hasn't hit in the hole with a lot of authority. She's, like, waiting for the play to develop, and when you do that as a running back, it's that's pretty deadly, but, you know, what do I know? I was a lineman. Here's the Sirens with the handoff coming through the middle again. Oh, and a cutback. And Jamara Frenchlove, number 33, hangs on for dear life and wrestles the ball carrier to the ground. That was Ashley Sharp again with the carry, with a gain of about 10 yards, but with a penalty, that will make it 4th and 5.
And that's a strong play by Frenchlove. If she didn't wrap that player up, that was in the end zone for sure.
The ball carrier, Sharp, had cut back against the grain and was looking at daylight. Love was the last line of defense. Now, Quan's back to punt. And Nenji Martin is back to receive. There are the punts away. Short kick. Nenji fields it at 42 and is almost immediately tackled. She gets about 3 yards.
I think the Siren have to be glad they got that punt off. There was some hesitation there from the kicker and was able to just get that ball off in time.
Yeah, Frenchlove and also number 91, who is Grant, was in the backfield rushing, a strong rush on that punt. Quake specials teams play has really come along in the past couple of games. They've been getting some good pass rushes or some good rushes on kicks. Okay, here's the Quake. Coos hands off the ball to Havoc, who lines up in the backfield, who carries it down to just about the 50-yard line, just over midfield.
It just kind of seems, Boo, like the Quake are playing with a little more spring in their step right now. It looks like I don't know what Coach Penn talked about in the in halftime in the locker room, but it looks like they're coming out fairly strong here.
Yeah, Coach Penn has always been really good at halftime adjustments, and this is sort of his trademark is, you know, we'll have a good first drive in the second half. Well, I guess this is the Quakes' second possession here. So here we go. It's a standard offense on the field, and Angela Havoc-Mims is lining up as the single back in the backfield. We have as wideouts number 7, Jonesy, and who's on the far side? Is that 11? That's Buzzard on the right side, our wide receivers. And Kuntz is lining up under center.
The formation we saw a lot of in the first half. we'll see if they stick to it.
All right. Fake handoff, screenplay, and that's complete to Poppy, who comes out of the backfield. That's Helen Montesoro with a big catch and big reception and run after catch. She gains about 22 yards on that play.
A great pass play. We'd like to see more of that from the Quake, a play-action pass resulting in a big yardage gain and down to the 30-yard line of the Sirens. So let's see if they can mount another charge, get down deep into the territory, and try to convert the score this time.
That's good. That's something the Quake haven't done a whole lot of yet in this game, so it's really nice to see them make that adjustment at halftime. That was a really nice screen play, which is where the linemen sort of let the defense come through a little bit, and the quarterback lobs it over the defense's head.
I think that was the first attempt going down. Pushed out of bounds. Strong running play by Angela Mims.
That's Havoc with the carry again. She takes it to the left, and she's such a strong runner. She can stiff arm somebody, or with a little hesitation move, she gained about an extra 5 or 10 yards on that play. Quake carry that all the way down to the 12-yard line in the red zone.
So strong momentum from the Quake here after two big yardage gains, and so they are threatening deep inside the Siren territory.
All right. Here's a handoff to Mims again, and she takes it straight up the middle for a gain of about 4 yards. I see a helmet come flying out of the pile. There's some hitting going on down there. I was on the sidelines for the first half of this game. And the ladies are sure lowering their shoulders. That's number 73. That's Layla. Seems to be a little bit rattled by the play. She's the one that retrieves her helmet, puts it back on, and takes it back to the huddle. Here we go.
And before the next play, another score report. The Amazons 28-0 over the Modesto Maniacs.
Okay, we have a pro set double running backs in the backfield. Handoff again is to Angela Mims. Again, right up the middle. She's running right behind her center and right tackle, right guard, and not a lot there this entire game. Nobody's been able to stuff the middle run.
Yeah, what do you think about that, Boo? I mean, they've ran twice up the middle now in a row. They're deep inside Siren territory. They only need about 6 or 7 yards to go. Actually, the ball's on the 5, so they're threatening again. What do you think about that play calling?
Well, we have a 3rd and 5 here. I don't want to see it a third time in a row, I'll tell you that. The Quake can score first down here, but obviously want to get this in the end zone.
Back to the two wides.
Here we go. Singletary with the ball, spins it, tries to take it to the left, and is dragged down from behind. She will not have the first down. That will be a 4th and 2 at the 5-yard line. And with a 12-0 score, are the Quake going to kick it here, or are they going to try to get...
Well, it looks like Mims is coming back on the field, so we'll see here. Can't really tell from the booth yet exactly what kind of what we're looking at. It's not a special teams unit.
No. Number 91, which is Grant, is the kicker, and she's not on the field. So the Quake are going for it here.
All right.
They've got Ninji in the backfield now with two lead blockers. Ninji breaks it to the left and stops short
again. There's about 5 Siren players there taking down the runner, and not a bad play call because they've had some success on that left-hand side, but unfortunately a turnover of downs deep inside Siren territory.
Well, here now the Sirens have 95 yards to go, but the Quake really needed to come away with points on that possession, and unfortunately they were denied, and this has sort of been the pattern for the Quake this year. They get some good offensive momentum going, but haven't been able to punch it in some critical time. So that's a kind of a ding and kind of a waste of the momentum, and now defense is called on again to make something good happen. So Chanel Powers, again, is the quarterback for the Sirens. Sirens try to run it up the middle.
And again, both teams not getting anything really up the middle. Both defenses have shut down that center alley pretty well.
I didn't get the number of the ball carrier there. It wasn't Quan. Quan was, she took the fake handoff to the right, and the ball carrier sort of took it to the middle and sort of struggled for 2 yards.
So, Brew, looking at a cross-down rival here, the L.A. Amazons, their first quarter score, 28-0 over the Modesto Maniacs. What do you think about that?
Amazons are a very strong team this year. They're my pick to win the division right now and, represent the West in the playoffs. Yeah, the Sirens take it to the right side.
That could be a face mask there. We saw the flags come down, and I thought I saw a little bit of the gridiron get get grabbed there.
Yeah, that was number 22, Ashley Sharp, the ball carrier, and definitely I'm not sure if they're going to call that a 15 or a 5-yard inadvertent face mask, but that was a pretty blatant face mask penalty. So you're not able to hear the number of who gets called up here.
No, not very easily.
Yeah, we're in a sealed booth up here, audience.
We get a little crazy, Boo and I, so they seal us away from the general public for safety reasons.
Well, you know, after the sun goes down, there's all these mosquitoes that fly around, too. You can see them right here on – oh, no, they're on our side of the glass. Who let these guys in? Anyway, so they will call that a 15-yard penalty, I do believe, which is an automatic first down, and then they will walk off. They haven't walked it off yet. The ball's still spotted around the 10. And for some reason, the Zebras are still talking.
So we'll see here where the spot goes down, and also it's going to be first and 10 from, can you see the spot there, Boo? I can't really tell where the ball is.
If it's where the referee is standing, that's right there at the...
Looks about the 15.
It looks about the 16-yard line, which wouldn't be a first down, but he signaled first down with a lot of emphasis for, you know, a couple of times.
We're at 5:33 in the third quarter. The siren ahead 12-0, but the Quake have had two very... strong scoring drives, came up a bit short, but they threatened twice and looked very strong on both drives.
Yeah, the Quake offense is looking good at times, but as I said, they've had a little problem, you know, punching it in at the crucial time. You know, but they're definitely in this game and playing very head up against the Sirens. They've been shutting down the Sirens' vaunted running game much more effectively than the game in Sacramento. I was at that game in Sacramento, and the thing that would happen would be the siren runner would get loose and the defender would take the wrong angle and bang, she's gone, 40, 60 yards, touchdown. And that hasn't been happening tonight. The defense has stiffened and is taking much better angles of the ball and making much more sure tackles, which is credit to the coaching staff and the work that these gals put in during the week to get ready for this. To get ready for these games. I tell you, it's a hard thing to play ball in the IWFL. We do it for love, and we do it, you know, we spend our time after work at practice and learning our plays and watching films, and, you know, everybody who's on this field is here because they love this game.
And that's definitely a very strong point. We talked about that a little bit in the first half, and that's why you folks out there listening really should come on out and support your local team. If you're anywhere close to a IWFL team, get out there and support your local players.
Here we go. The Sirens, the Shanny under center. The ball is handoff taken to the left for a couple of yards. Well, it looks like that's not Powers who's a quarterback anymore. That's number 3, who's not on my roster, is now quarterback.
Amber Mitchell.
Did we just lose our connection? Technology, huh? They bring the speaker for us?
Hold on. We may still be. All right, so we thought we were off, but we're back on. I'm glad we didn't say anything inappropriate there, Boo. You know, we get a little crazy up here in this booth. And
I do my best not to, you know, cuss when there's a possibility of being on the air. The Sirens just ran another... sweep to the left, gain of about a yard. That will make it third down. There they go. Now they change the box. It's 3rd and 5 now. There's 4 minutes and 15 seconds remaining in the quarter. We're in the third quarter here in Downey, California.
No scores here in the third yet. Almost a near scoring drive by the Quake. Got down to about the 5-yard line, but fell short. And the Siren has not been able to get into their own territory yet this quarter. So
yeah, they're definitely playing on this half of the field.
Yep.
Here's number 22 carrying the ball.
Oh, yeah, big breakaway here.
She takes that to the right side, going down the sideline. Havoc's there to force her back to the inside where number 1, Lizard, makes the tackle.
Huge running play all the way down to the 30-yard line of the Quake, and that was a big breakout play. Just as we're saying, Boo, that they're playing on their end of the field, what happens? They break away big.
Flag on the play. There's a flag all the way down at the 20-yard line.
That's right, and this could be a huge error for the siren if this gets
if
called their way.
If it's against the sirens, that negates a 50-yard running play.
Definitely, it is.
It is against the siren. Was that an illegal motion? Was that an illegal shift? I didn't see the call.
I don't know, but Coach is going to be furious on the siren sideline there because that was the biggest running play of the night.
Oh, it was a very nicely executed running play, and again, it was the seal block, let the runner get to the outside and find the open space down the sideline, but it looks like there was an illegal shift of some sort, and yeah, nothing will make a coach crazier than having a play like that called back for a the technicality.
You never committed any penalties in your day, did you?
You know, in my 3 years of playing, not once was there ever a penalty called against me. And if you believe that, I will I'll sell you a bridge in Brooklyn.
I'll tell you, you must be really that's just like back in the NBA days. Kevin McHale never had a foul called on him in his entire career. You guys must be related somehow.
Indeed, yeah, you're old school, huh? So the sirens are going to line it up again. Now it's 3rd and 10 after the penalty. And that's number 23, fumbles the ball.
Fumbles, and let's see. This will be huge if it's recovered by the Quake deep inside Sirens territory, waiting for the signal.
The ball was loose around the 10-yard line. It looks like the Sirens have recovered it, but that's a loss of 5 yards on the play. And more importantly, brings up 4th down. 4th and 15, pinned very, very deep.
And, yep.
So the Quake failure to score turns into a 4th down where the punter is going to have to kick it away almost on her own goal line.
She's actually placed it actually inside of their own end zone. So they're going to be kicking out of their own end zone. And high snap.
She brings it down, gets it away. It's a short kick.
And it's going to be – it's not going to be a 10. There's no
and
it's a Quake bounce.
The Quake goal line, and the Sirens are able to down it right around the 23-yard line. So here's a golden opportunity for California. The Quake are going to get the ball almost in the red zone, and the offense will have a short field to work with.
Okay, so this brings up a good point, Boo. I mean, they're down already now. They're going to start their drive deep inside Siren territory. They've been able to successfully get the ball down around the 5, but it's around the 5-yard line. They've been having trouble. What do they need to do to punch that ball in?
Well, I want to see a little more variety in the plays. They tried running that same last play 2 times in a row with no success. Let's see what Coach Penn comes up here with his play calling now. And that's a handoff to Helen Montesoro, who doesn't get very much on the right side. They're trying a little off-tackle run there, and the Sirens are able to stuff that.
Might even be a loss of a yard or so.
I think they'll give her forward progress to about the line of scrimmage. Let's see where they spot it.
I have noticed that the officials are being pretty generous with the way they're spotting the ball tonight. So we'll see where this one goes down.
I actually really like this officiating crew. I've worked with them before, and they're a pretty good bunch. I don't question their spots too much. So as they say, it's at the 20, it's at the 20.
That's head referee Mario Miranda and his crew out here working the game tonight.
All right, Kunis hangs on to this ball. The pass is 2.
And once again, that was another one over to Jonesy. And
Jonesy had both hands on that and flat out dropped it. It looked like it ricocheted off of her face mask.
That's right.
Which, you know, that's something she'll need to be working on in practice.
It's about the 4th time tonight where she's had a pass right to her that she's bobbled, and not to try and rip on Jonesy too much, but she's definitely had some passes that she should have brought in and caught. You know, a couple that she didn't were she had good coverage on her, but
yeah, she was an open space.
She's
there.
Had some open looks, definitely.
She might have had a little bit too much open space there. Sometimes that'll shake a receiver up a little bit. But you know, it's the sun's gone down and the lights have come on here in Downey, and you know, there's a little reflection, a little bit of that stuff, but you know, football's a hard game.
Yeah, it is. And it'll be interesting to see if they try to go down the right side to Buzzard, who I think is 1-for-1 on completions tonight. She had a big catch just in the last series. Another pass play here. And that's just overthrown.
Yeah, but
the flag is down.
Yeah, Nenji was the intended receiver on that, coming out of the backfield. Or I guess she was swinging out from the tight end position. A little bit of one of those crossing rub routes. And the receiver just pretty much stepped in front of Nenji, the defender stepped in front of Nenji and impeded her progress, and that'll draw a flag every time. So we're pretty sure that's going to be a pass interference call. And let's see where the spot is. These referees are taking their time getting the ball spotted and ready for play again, which I'm not really sure what the issues are there.
And while we have a quick moment, just want to thank a couple of our sponsors, Seven Glove Prevention and Protection, as well as Vitam Titanium Products. Very important for the sponsors to get out and support these local teams. Without them, virtually impossible to try and run a football team. So we appreciate all the sponsors and, of course, all the fans who are out there supporting these ladies.
All right, so the ball is spotted right around the 18-yard line. That will be a first down. First and 10 from the 18 for the Quake.
We're at 1:53 left in the third quarter, still 12-0. And looks like there was either somebody jumped offside or it might have been false start. We'll get the signal here momentarily.
That might have been an official stoppage. I'm not sure if the ball had been signaled ready for play. Quake were ready to go, but apparently it hadn't been signaled ready for play.
Yeah, officials are not indicating any kind of an infraction. So
it's a do-over. So Koontz is lining up under center and Proset in the backfield.
And
drops back to pass.
Looks like she's going to take it herself. Going in.
Running. She takes that down to about the 9-yard line.
And she showed some speed there. That's the first time they called that tonight, Boo, and I really like that call deep inside Sirens territory there. A little break to the left or right. She might have taken that one in.
Yeah, I'm not sure that that was a designed running play. I think that she pulled the ball down after going through a progression and not seeing any receivers open. So that'll be second and inches. It's about second and a foot, it looks like. And Koontz lines up under center again.
Two wide outs. Checking the signs, and Koontz snaps the ball, looking to throw over to Jonesy.
And that's low. That skips off the ground before it gets to Jonesy, who had position on the receiver. She was open to get to the end zone, but the ball just sort of came in low and skipped off the turf.
I like the play. Poor execution there on the throw. She threw too soon and down too low, but that would have put them in the end zone or right at the 1-yard line.
Yeah.
I think a pretty gutsy play.
Yeah, she didn't really have a whole lot of pressure, did Koontz? She didn't have to hurry that quite as much. Koontz is under center again, hands it off to Singleton,
on third.
Met in the backfield.
And I'll tell you what, they are just having no luck running up the center, and on third and one, they've lost a couple yards now. And so, again, the Quake get down deep into Sirens territory right when they're threatening, but it's getting that extra 5 or 6 yards to put it in the end zone has been an absolute challenge for them.
Mm-hmm. And they had an opportunity there with that incompletion to Jonesy that I think that would have scored. And instead, we're looking at another fourth down play, and the Quake are going to go for it, and they put Havoc in the backfield again. They're lining Nenji up at tight end on the left side. And Poppy Montesoro is the fullback lead blocker. Let's see what the play is.
They're going to need about 3 yards for the first down.
I bet it's going to Havoc, but that's what we've seen so far.
Here we go.
And the ball is to Havoc. She runs it to the left side.
There we go. Mims cutting in.
Yep. She takes it almost to the end zone. She gets taken out of bounds right around the 3. She'll be marked right around the 3-yard line. That'll be first and goal for the Quake. Now the Quake are going to get 4 shots at it. There's 5 seconds left in the quarter. The clock stopped because of the out-of-bounds.
So good to see the Quake rolling and picking up that first down at a crucial time.
Yeah, they needed that.
They absolutely needed that. They're going to get 4 downs now to try to move this in off 3 yards for their first score. In fact, this will be the first score of the season against the Sirens.
Yeah. Well, I guess, okay, they rolled the clock. I guess Mims was tackled inbounds because now they've run the last 5 seconds off the clock and are switching ends of the field as we go into the fourth quarter here in Downey, California. The Sirens hold the lead, 12-0 against your California Quake.
And, Boo, we have to like what we have to like what we see here. This is not a score that we expected going into the fourth quarter, a 2-possession game, and the Quake sitting on the 3-yard line looking to score here. They've looked very strong in these short yardage plays, in everywhere except down by the goal line. So
yeah,
we're gonna have to see if they can cross over and put
Now's the time to do it. Now's the time for the gut check and bring this game. Now, if the Quakes score here, and I sure hope they do, you know, and could convert the extra point, that brings it to a five-point game. You know, a touchdown would win it at that point. But first things first, we got first and goal from the three, and we got to put this in the end zone here. And offense is coming back out on the field. Sirens are still in the huddle on their sideline.
And what about Andrea Grant in terms of extra points? I mean, how has she been doing this season? If they do get the score here, how do you feel about the likelihood of getting the extra point? Because we've seen here already that the Sirens have missed two extra points already.
Well, Grant has been kicking really well. She's been converting most of her extra points. In the New Mexico game, I think she was 5-for-7. That was the game where we scored a bunch. And here we go. Koontz is under center. We got Poppy and Havoc in the backfield.
Two wide outs, and here we go. Trying to.
That's a keeper by Koontz.
And it's in there. Touchdown, Quake.
She's in. Spikes the ball. Celebration. Oh, and they threw a flag on
And a flag on the play, and that is that celebrating?
I don't believe they called the
Now, hold on a second. I have to. Now, Boo, you're the expert here.
That was not excessive. She was happy, and she slammed the ball down, but it's not like she did it in anybody's
face. How can you call
a
penalty on a spike? This is football. We're not.
Well, you remember? Did you see the Oregon game where the guy threw the ball in the air? College game. Well, anyway,
ridiculous.
It cost them the game. So that'll be assessed on the kickoff, which is I don't agree.
I understand about not showboating, but message to the officials, please. This is football. Let the players at least spike after a touchdown, especially when it's their first score against the team all season long.
Anyway, so it was a good score. It was Koontz faked the handoff to Mims and then kept it herself. Took it up the middle, sliced between two of the defenders, and scored nicely. It's 14-57 in the fourth quarter, and Grant is on for the extra point. Yeah, that's Koontz.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that was the quarterback keeper.
Yeah.
You've forgotten already.
I know. I'll tell you what. I'm just getting so excited off the touchdown. Failed to get the number. So now, listen, this is a very big point. You know, people, a lot of times, they don't appreciate the point afters, but
always exciting in the women's leagues. It's Luna's the snapper, Nero's the holder, and
kick is up, and it is
Grant clear crossbar. That didn't clear it by a lot. Sort of a low line drive.
Little line drive, little worm burner there. It's like a Tiger Woods burner three-wood shot at the Masters, but this is now a five-point game at 12-7 with 14:57 left. And this is a huge point here, like you said, because now with that kick, it's a five-point game. It's one possession. A touchdown for the Quake is going to put them in the lead. Had she missed that, they would have still had a little bit of work even had they scored.
Mm-hmm.
So extra points count, Boo. That's lesson 101.
And I think that both of the Sirens' extra points have been blocked because Kwan kicks them so low. And the Quake are getting a really good push up the middle. That's one of the things that the special teams have been working on for a while is, you know, because, you know, in the women's game, we haven't grown up playing this. We're learning this later in life, how to execute. And we spend most of our time in practice on offense and defense and special teams. You know, you got to spend more time on them, but, you know, it's just one of those things. None of the teams are very good at them.
Well,
the Quake have been getting a lot of push up the middle on for kick blocks, and it's paid off tonight.
Well, we're fortunate that the Sirens didn't get a hand up on that last one because that was a very low kick. We got away with one there.
Grant kicks it away. Knuckleball down the center of the field. Number 20 picks it up, and she takes it back to the 44-yard line. Tackled by number 50. That's Natasha Apig, the ball carrier for the Sirens, and he's number 50. That's Philpott for us, right? Makes the tackle on the kickoff. So, Sirens have it first and 10 at their own, let's see, they spotted at the 44-yard line, just short of midfield.
So we'll see if that Quake defense can stay strong. They've been playing very good defense in this second half.
Quake defense has done a lot of good work here tonight with a couple of exceptions. Here's the handoff.
And holes open up, and just as we say that, a breakaway. And that's a breakaway one, past the 20, to the 15, the 10, the 5, and touchdown, Sacramento Sirens. Just as we're saying it, Boo, about the good defense, a hole opens up and away goes the runner.
You know, what made that play work is I see Stephanie Neros is coming off the field. Spider, who was injured earlier in this game, that she got washed out of that play, and that was her tackle to make, and she just physically was not able. She came up lame on that play, which is too bad. She was the one that would have plugged that hole, and she just couldn't get there because of her injury.
So a huge run. That was a 56-yard run, and I'm still trying to see the player number from up here on the booth, but a big, big run for the Siren.
That was number 20 was the ball carrier for the Sirens.
Okay, so number 20, that is Amy Williams.
Yeah, was the ball carrier. She scored the touchdown in the first quarter, if I recall, and the Sirens take a timeout here. They're leading now 18-7 and lining up for the point after kick. There's 14 minutes and 38 seconds remaining.
So just like that, off of the Quake score, the Sirens come back with a response of their own, a big 56-yard run to extend their lead a bit. Now, okay, Boo, what are these ladies thinking? You know, is the momentum deflated, or are they just kind of saying, hey, let's get back there and go to business. We've got a strong offense, and let's do our thing.
Well, you know, and which of those two that happens, whether they say, oh, and let down, or whether they say, okay, let's go to work, that's what makes, that's the character of the team. Let's see what they do here. You know, a good, strong team will shake it off and not worry about what just happened. They worry about what's going to happen, and that's what we want to see out of our Quake tonight.
So Coach Penn down there talking to his players, telling them what they need to do to stay in this. This is certainly anybody's game at this point. I mean, the Sirens have led the whole way, but the Quake are keeping it close. And
well, it almost looks like the Sirens are lining up to go for two with 18 points and two block kicks. Why not?
Yeah.
The kicking game isn't doing much for them.
Oh, that's right. I mean,
they
have
Quan in the backfield, and I think that's number three is the quarterback. She drops that
pass play. And right through the arms.
Looked like she just overthrew. Is that 23 or 22? It was the intended receiver. Looked like a little fade route to the back corner. And
she had the Quake defense beat, too. So, I mean, that was could have been
just overthrown there.
Yep, could have been real costly for the Quake there. I'll tell you what, I have to say, Quan for the Sirens is kind of she kind of does it all for them. I mean, she kicks, she runs, she blocks.
She's been around for a few years, and before she played for the Sirens, she actually played down in for the San Diego team, the SoCal Scorpions, who were the final WPFL champions before that team went away. And I don't think she played for that team. I think she's been up in Sacramento for 3 seasons now. Anyway, but yeah, she's a heck of a player, and she's known as being incredibly hard to tackle. So we aren't seeing a whole lot of her carrying 4 or 5 Quake players down the field is a tribute to how well the Quake defense is playing.
Well, at 5'6 and 200 pounds, she's a force to be reckoned with out there.
That's a load, I'll tell you. Oh, man, she's going to go out of bounds.
Now an attempted field by Ninji, but she's able to recover and take the ball up to about the 31.
You know, the Quake kick return game hasn't been doing really well this year. It's pretty frequent that the receivers will let the ball get on the ground, which is always a dangerous thing on a kickoff because it's a live ball. You need to pick it up. It's not a punt. You can't run away from it. And once the ball gets on the ground, you never know what direction it's going to bounce in. So it's something that I think the Quake need to work on, but it hasn't really hurt them a lot in this game. But anyway, so the Quake have 1st and 10 at the round of 30.
So, Boo, 14:32 left in the game. Down 18-7, this is a key drive here. They're going to have to stay aggressive, and they're going to have to go ahead and press the field because
you don't
want to give the Siren another chance to come back and extend that lead.
Yeah, I don't think the Quake can have too many more possessions without scoring, with or without holding the Sirens, you know, whether or not the Quake defense keeps the Sirens out of the end zone. But I think the Quake really need to, you know, they need 2 scores now. We're down by 11 points. So we definitely need to score at least 1 touchdown, preferably 2. And
it'll be interesting to see, Boo, if they go back to the air. I mean, it's again, this could be a whole different game if there was just a catch here or there from Jonesy. And, of course, you know Buzzard on the other side.
Yeah,
she's got that one catch.
Hasn't been thrown to her very much.
No, she's one for one in terms of receptions. She had a really great reception last quarter. And, you know, let's see if Kunz goes back to her. Unfortunately, Jonesy just hasn't really been getting it done on the receiving end. So they might have to change it up a bit.
We'll see what they do. Kunz lines it up under center.
And man, a little flea flicker. Deep down, throwing into, picked off, triple coverage by the Sirens, and picked off, covering back now, running back past the 40, the 35, and down to about the Quake 32-yard line. And what do you think about that, Boo? Too risky.
That's a ball that Kunz should not have thrown. That was the flea flicker play, which before the season began, they loved this in practice, and Kara Williams, Nitro, number 9, was always her intended target. And Nitro has been on the sidelines on injured reserve for a long time. So it looked to me like Kunz had her mind made up that she was going down the middle of the field to Jonesy on the flea flicker, which they love, and threw it right into the Siren triple coverage. And, you know, she shouldn't have let that ball go. So now the Sirens set up business on the 35-yard line. They're in Quake territory.
And a pass play here.
And she's chased out of the pocket, taken down. There's a
Bowers getting.
Yeah, Nasty was in there. That was Nancy McLeod on the tackle. Jamar French Love was in there, and I think number 50 Philpott was in on that takedown. Who's number 3 for the Sirens again?
That is Amber Mitchell.
Amber Mitchell dropped back to pass and got chased, flushed out of the pocket. Good coverage down the field. She didn't have a target to throw to.
So going back to that Quake interception, Boo, I mean, we were talking about aggressiveness. I actually like the aggressive play call with the flea flicker. But, you know, being a quarterback is more than dropping back and passing. You have to read the defense. You have to read the coverage. And like you said, she threw into triple coverage. She should have never made that throw.
Yeah. Here's Kwan with the handoff. Takes it down the off left tackle. And here's Kwan, fourth quarter horse, is dragging some players with her. That was Anna De Leon. There's a size mismatch. And Jamara Love in on the tackle.
I really like what I saw from number 75, Vicky Nicewinger there for the Siren. She was on about 4 blocks there. She took down about 4 different players on the Quake team. So in the trenches, you know what that's all about there, Boo. I mean, making it happen, not always even getting the credit that they deserve, but
right.
she opened up some room there for the runner.
Sirens has always had a very good offensive line, too. Here's the handoff to number 22, evades the tackle in the backfield, turns it upfield, and now the Sirens are just powering down the field with their running game. That's number 22 is Ashley Sharp on the carry and takes it to the right side, gets a first down, fresh set of downs for the Sirens at the 22-yard line.
So the Quake are going to have to stay strong here. I mean, they've proven to themselves that they can hold against this Siren offense. They've been doing it pretty well most of the night, but certainly the momentum after the touchdown and then subsequent interception looks like the Sirens are running with a lot of ferocity at this point and making another charge to the end zone.
Yep, they're knocking on the door again. Here's number 3 under center again. Hands a quick handoff to number 22, who tries to take it through the middle. Minimal gain, maybe a yard or two, depends on the spot.
Teams are still attacking that central alley there. I mean, neither side has had much luck going up the middle, but
yeah,
seems like they're trying.
Nobody can run behind the guards tonight, but both teams are still trying, you know, to take that middle blast. I think that's a favorite play in both these teams' playbooks. And you don't want to go away from your favorite play. Even, you know, if it doesn't work once or twice, you kind of can't abandon it from there. You just keep going.
So we're 11:53 left in the game. 18-7 lead for the Sacramento Sirens.
And takedown. Number 3 drops back to pass, puts the ball up, then pulls it back down again when her receivers cover, and that's when Jamara French Love came in and body slammed.
That was a huge pile drive of powers there, an authoritative sack. Really the most intense tackle we've seen all night.
Well, that's why you shouldn't leave your feet if you're trying to throw the ball, because bad things will happen to you. But, yeah, that was a bit of excitement there. That got the crowd into it a bit, too.
Yeah, good hard tackles, just like in hockey when you see that strong check into the boards. That was a shot.
So now it's 3rd and 13. And
another
again,
sack.
Who's that team slicing in? That's number 79, Betty Suzuki, sliced in off the defensive line and got there pretty much as the quarterback was stepping back from under center and just wrestled her down, a little spin move there.
I mean, Boo, we were talking about, the need to stay in the defensive intensity there for the Quake, and they have really stood up to this challenge here as it looked like Sirens were gaining that momentum and marching down the last few plays. Quake has really stepped up.
Defense came up big, answered the call there. Now we've got Kwan back punting from a little bit past her own 40, looking to pin the Quake deep. So Sirens will kick it away, and the Quake offense will come back on the field again.
I'll tell you, Kwan doing it all. I'm waiting for her to go pick up some towels and water.
There we go, and that will go all the way to the end zone. No,
she kicked it out of bounds, and that was a great punt by Kwan, kicking it out of bounds at about the 10-yard line, so the Quake are going to start deep in their own territory.
Yeah, that was a nice job by Kwan on the kick. She angled it towards the sideline from where we're sitting. It looked to me like it was heading towards the end zone, but no, it was perfectly placed, hit just off the left sideline at the 10-yard line. Quake will have 90 yards to go. And now the Quake offense needs to step up. Defense has given them another chance. And down by 11 points with 10 minutes remaining in the game, Quake need to drive this field and put some more points on the board. So it's gut check time here and down in California. And Kuntz leads her team out on the field. Under center with two backs. The handoff goes to Singletary, who is tackled for no gain. And again, that middle run, the coaches keep going to it, but they neither team is gaining much momentum off of that. Neither team's cashing in very much. I see Betty Suzuki is now the center for the Quake, which number 59 usually starts at center, and I'm not sure why she's come off now or when that happened. But, yeah, Betty is handling the snap. There's the pitch to Mims, who takes it to the left side, not much there. She's met in the backfield and struggles back to the line of scrimmage.
And we are 9:32 left in the game. We've got a halftime score to report here. The Tucson Monsoon, we've got a close one here. The Tucson Monsoon leading the SoCal Breakers 8-7. So we've got a good one there.
Seriously, the Monsoon are up on the Breakers. Now, that's a surprise to me because the Monsoon is The Breakers, I thought, would easily handle the Monsoon, so I'm, very pleased and surprised to see a little bit of an upset in the brewing there. Kuntz fakes the pitch and goes towards Jonesy down the left side, and again, misses her receiver. Jonesy was very well covered. The corner had position on her anyway, so that's a three and out for the Quake, and they're going to have to kick it away from deep in their own territory, which is always a dangerous thing. Here we go with a more special teams adventure because you never know what's going to happen when you're kicking with the punter standing in her own end zone.
Yeah, always a scary thing. You have to worry about a bad snap. I mean, this is really where your special teams practice comes into play. Long snaps certainly make head coaches nervous.
That's the truth. And, again, what I was saying about special teams are sort of a thing that we would love to have more time to practice them, but we often run out of time at practice. Long snapping is always an adventure in the women's leagues, and nobody does it the full 15 yards. So here we go.
So snap is up, and it's a good snap, and the kick is away and a good punt.
Yeah, Grant drives a nice line drive down there. Oh, but 22 makes the first tackler miss her, has a convoy down the right.
Big return back, she's still going on the left-hand side, down to the 5-yard line, breaking through, touchdown.
Into the end zone.
Sacramento Sirens running back the kick. It's a touchdown and not what the Quake needs at this point, Bill.
Now, at this point, I think Sacramento has pretty much grabbed the momentum and is going to hang on to it for the rest of the game. And the Quake are looking fairly demoralized on the field. It's a hard thing to play that close for three and a half quarters and then have the game start to fall apart on you a little bit in the fourth. But it's a four-quarter game, and you got to keep playing, and these gals got to keep their heads up and keep their head in the game and, not give up. There's no give up in this team, and we got to just keep on going.
Well, that's right, and this is a Quake broadcast. We're obviously rooting for the Quake, but we have to give credit to number 22, Ashley Sharp, on that last punt return. I mean, she broke about three different tackles on that right-hand side of the field. Just when we thought she was going down, she kept on running into the end zone.
She had a few good lead blocks, too, that sprung her open. That was a nice bit of running by Sacramento. Here's the handoff.
2-point.
who carries it into the end zone.
Two-point conversion is good. And I'll tell you, Kwan, again, she's the jack of all trades. She's all over the place. And
she kind of doesn't look like your typical athlete, and more power to her. You know, there's a place in this game for the big girls, and I'm really glad the coaches didn't, like, take one look at her body shape and put her in at offensive guard or something, because she is one heck of a running back. She's hard to bring down.
She does it all, and I'm telling you, you know, when she's not kicking the ball and she's not opening up holes on the block, she's running it into the end zone, and I'll tell you what, she's a she is all over the place, and if she went down, they would certainly be in trouble without Kwan.
Yeah, she's one of the keys to this team. Plus, she's their place kicker here. She's putting the ball on team, getting ready to kick off.
I mean, I wonder if she drives the team bus, too, Boo. I mean, what else does she do?
I don't know. You know, speaking of powerful athletes and keys to the teams, when I saw the Dallas Diamonds play, they have Jessica Springer, who's very well the league MVP until she decides to stop playing. She is one hell of a player, too. If you ever get a chance to go to a Dallas game, keep your eye on 46 because she's another jack of all trades.
So here we go. Kwan just did a two-point conversion. Now she's kicking off. Kickoff down to about the 26-yard line and rolls out of bounds. That'll be should be a penalty.
Yeah, that'll trickle out of bounds. I think the Quake will have the option of taking the ball on the 40 or making them kick it again.
So for those of you listening at home, we are at 8:52 in the fourth quarter. We've got 8:52 left in this game. Sacramento Sirens leading 26-7. And we're seeing what's going to happen here after the kickoff rolls out of bounds. Looks like they're going to re-kick, Bo.
No, yeah, I think they move it back 5 yards and re-kick at this point.
Yeah, they're going to kick it back, move it back, and re-kick. So Kwan is going to get another shot to give that thing a boot.
Try to keep it in the middle of the field this time. Yeah, none of the kickoffs have really gone in the air too much today. We've seen a lot of grounders on the kicking game. And I'm not sure if that's intentional or not. Again, like I say, special teams is not the thing that gets practiced. And we don't see a lot of, you know, pretty-looking kicks.
And kicking is not, it's not as if it's the easiest thing to do in the world either. And
again, another line drive. This one gets scooped up. Whoops.
And another miss by Mims.
Drew Mims and gets all the way back to the 20 where she finally corrals it and carries it back to the 30 where she's met by a couple of tacklers brought down.
And that in the first quarter, quarter, Boo, Coach Penn was really frustrated with the fact they can field some of these kicks. I mean, he was up here close to the booth in my location and definitely was getting upset with the fact that the Quake players couldn't field those kicks.
Yeah, he would get a little exercised about that, I would think. And I think the Quake need to work on that a lot, too. You know, that's really something that is costing them yards on every single kickoff that they're receiving. Here's Kuntz under center, hands the ball off to their Singletary. Again, hesitating in the backfield, and she's met by a host of Sirens who are tackling her for a loss of yards. That's a loss of about 2 on that play.
Well, and this just goes to show that hesitation there. I mean, if you listen to some of the great NFL running backs, you know, Curtis Martin, Emmitt Smith, you know, guys like that, they always say you have to keep forward momentum. You have to keep forward progress, even under pressure. What we saw Singletary do there, she ran laterally to the side and then just kind of hesitated and lost a few steps.
She's tippy-toeing in the backfield there, and what she really needs to do is lower her shoulder. She just doesn't appear to be that kind of a running back. So is that Kroger in the backfield now?
Looks like it could have.
It is, and she's running away from the defenders, too.
Yeah, no positive yardage there whatsoever, running out to the side and then taken down.
Yeah, again, now Kroger's not gone up the field either. And
kind of looks, Boo, like a potential flea flicker again there for a half second.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that, but
I'm not sure if she was looking for someone downfield and not finding it, but again, she was giving away yards that she didn't have to give away. The running backs for Quake really need to take this ball up the field. You know, with Monique Zaki, the standout running back from last year, not returning on this year's Quake team, I think that's a real problem for the Quake this year is they don't have that really strong, powerful running game that was what got them into the playoffs last year.
Shotgun formation, looking for the pass play down the right-hand side, and that's complete. Over to...
That's Ninji with the ball.
Looking for a back. Oh, she saves it down. Cross the 30. Cross the 20.
They're trying to chase her down.
Brought down at the 8-yard line. Boom. What's the thing about that? Down at the 8-yard line.
Ninji got chased down from behind. That's number 32, I think, finally makes the tackle within the 10. Kuntz floated that ball over the defender's head, so sort of a funny little screenplay. Nenji came out of that tight end position there. Oh, she's exhausted. She's taking herself out of the game for a play.
She probably hadn't run like that all season long. I mean,
Nenji's been on offense and defense.
Yeah.
She is just the Iron Woman of the team this season, and she is so much fun to watch.
So Mims checking back in, and that was certainly a boost. The crowd going wild here. And
The Quake needed that, too. That's a good bit of excitement to see a see Nenji come galloping down the sideline. She did a tightrope walk on
the
sideline.
She did. She did.
Gained about an extra 30 yards after everybody thought they were going out.
Shook a couple of tackles and stayed down, and that was pro right there.
There we go. Here's the handoff to Havoc, and again, stuffed in the middle, and they'll finally wrestle her down to the ground. Havoc is so strong, it takes a whole bunch of gals to bring her down to the ground.
What is going on, Boo, in your opinion, with the really failure to advance the ball up the middle? Is it the offensive line breaking down, or is it just the strength of the defensive line stepping in?
I'm really crediting the defensive lines with doing a really good job on not getting washed out of their gaps. It's not so much that the offensive lines are doing a bad job. It's,
in there, touchdown, Quake, and that was...
That's Mims again. That's
44, Mims.
Carried the ball to the left side, but what made that work was Leela, number 73, came around, pulled from her guard position, and blew somebody up on the left side. I saw her make a pancake block on whoever it is that was the job to fill that hole, and that let Mims walk into the end.
So what a great 1-2 punch, the huge play by Ninji, and then Mims finishing it off. Running to the left-hand side, and now we're going to see it's 25-13.
26-13.
26-13, I'm sorry, and the point after attempt coming up. Snap is up.
Down and?
Kick is good.
All right, that'll make it 14-26. Now we have a 12-point game with 6 minutes remaining. And boy, howdy, the Quake defense needs to come up with a stop here.
Well, what a game, Boo. I mean, this... Considering what the last time these teams met, I mean, we have something here much more exciting.
Well, and, you know, a couple minutes ago we were talking about, you know, the team acting deflated and whether or not they'd be able to answer the bell. And the Quake are definitely still in this and still playing hard. That's the mark of a good team. Even though they're down by 12 points, they are just all over it.
And, Boo, we have a correction to that halftime score. The Monsoon actually up 14-7 over the Breakers. So an impressive halftime posting by the Monsoon, up 14-7 over the Breakers.
That's still the Monsoon are up 14-7?
The Monsoon, it was a correction to the other score that we reported, the Monsoon up 14-7.
That's a bit of a surprise, and good on the Monsoon. I like them. They're a good team. The Zod had a little trouble putting it together, so I kind of wish I could be seeing both these games.
I'll tell you, I think we're going to have to string up some televisions in here for the next time.
Yeah, next time. Get that taken care of. So Grant is getting ready to kick off here for the Quake. And she attempts the onside, and the ball's rattling around. And it's a big pile up on the 40. Let's see who corrals this. Looks like the Sirens will recover.
And that was the Sirens fumbling the ball there for a little bit, almost... Looked like a botched kickoff in some ways. Maybe they were just disguising the onside really well, but those Quake players are going to have to sprint down there a little quicker to try to give themselves that chance of recovery.
Yeah, but then there were a bunch of Sirens who were, like, standing looking at the ball and not falling on it, which, like I say, we haven't played this game since we were 4 years old in Pop Warner, and people don't always know what to do in these plays. So now the Sirens, number two, is under center, throws the ball up,
and incomplete.
The intended receiver was number 81. That was Caitlin Porter, and Chanel Power sort of skipped that one off the turf. And it'll be second and 10.
5:52 left in the game, 26-14, Sirens ahead. Still enough time, though. I mean, if some things could turn around here, a turnover would be huge for the Quake at this point. I mean, it's a two-possession game.
Yeah, with a little under 6 minutes to go, it's a definitely a sense of urgency needs to be on the field. So let's see if the defense responds here. Powers is under center, hands the ball off to 22, who takes it to the left.
Big hole open up, and there it is, and she's breaking away, breaks two tackles. Now on the left-hand side, finally brought down at the 34-yard line.
Martinez takes down number, that is 22, the ball carrier. 22 was Ashley Sharp.
And Martinez saved a touchdown there. So.
Well, there were a couple of people that had an opportunity to make those tackles before Martinez made that touchdown-saving tackle. And here in the fourth quarter, we're getting a little sloppy. The tackling's getting a little high. They need to wrap up and drive through their man. And
how much do you think fatigue is a factor at this point in the game?
Well, you know, it depends on how much conditioning the players have had, you know, in the preseason. Here's when the preseason work pays off. And I think it could be a factor here. Here's Quan, the ball carrier.
And flag is down. Flag is down on the play. Late flag. So we shall So still waiting on the call from the officials, and it is indeed a face mask on the quick. And that one came in late there, Bill.
Yeah, and like I say, you know, fourth quarter and the tackling's getting a little sloppier. When this starts happening, the tackles get higher. You know, you aren't wrapping somebody around the hips. You're whiffing at their shoulders, and it's really easy to have your hand get on somebody's face mask and stick there. And you'll see these calls start happening against a team that's getting tired and getting a little sloppy tackling. So I'm afraid that may be what's happening with the Quake, that if that's the case, then the Sirens are coming in here as the better conditioned team and calling it out in the fourth quarter. So here come the Sirens in their double wing formation again. Or no, they have double running backs now in a pro set.
5:20 left in the quarter, in the game rather, and running out.
Again, the middle run, that's number 22, Sharp again with the ball carry. Runs it off a right tackle, and now the Sirens are getting a little more success with those middle runs. They're running
one
went between the guard and the tackle.
It looks like the defensive line breaking down just a little bit. I mean, they have had two successful middle runs right now, so they're going to I presume they're going to stick with what works. I mean, they have the lead. They're charging. They're threatening. And why do something stupid like put the ball in the air?
The Sirens don't need to take chances right now with a 12-point lead in under 5 minutes. So Powers under center, hands the ball off again to number 22. This time she's wrapped up at the line of scrimmage and driven backwards.
And that time the Quake did not fall for it. They weren't going to fall for it three times in a row. They plugged that middle hole.
Karen Finn, number 70, and Jamara Love on that tackle, driving her backwards with authority.
So a loss of yards there for the Sirens. 4:21 left in the game. Clock is ticking. Again,
it's got a second and 11 now.
Second and 11. It's, again, a 26-14 Siren lead.
Yeah, and the Sirens ought to be happy to just take as much time off of this clock as possible, because the less time they leave the Quake. I mean, the Quake needs to score twice to get back in this game. And as long as the clock's ticking, here's the pitch, the option.
And left-hand side, looks like they're going to drive in. She did. She got in there. That's number looking for the play. It's a touchdown for the Sirens, exploiting that left-hand side. And they go three times down the middle, and then they exploit out to the left.
That's number 23, Naruko Karuka, with the touchdown for the Sirens.
And a great play call there, because I think everybody was looking for to go up the middle or down that right-hand side, and they just cruised over to the left. Exploited a lot of open space
and
another touchdown.
That was Shandy Powers on the at quarterback, and she held the ball on the option and made the defender commit to her and dealt the ball out to her running back at the last possible moment, which is how you run the option. And the Sirens have always been a good option team. Here's a two-point conversion.
Two-point conversion going up in the air, and it's good.
That's pass to number – that 23 again? Scored the touchdown and the two-pointer. Anyway, Shady Powers completes the pass for the two-point conversion and brings the score to 34-14.
And the receiver had two defensive covers there, but stopped short, turned around, and the ball landed right into her lap. So
that's a good, accurate pass by Powers. She's a she's really matured into a very good quarterback. The first game I ever played was a Scout Bowl back in 2001, first time I ever put on pads, and let me tell you how terrified I was. And Shani Powers was in that game as well. I know her all the way back from the WAFL days. That's a long time ago.
But I think we're seeing the effects of having a veteran quarterback, you know, behind center.
She makes good decisions on the field, and I've definitely seen her mature over the years and become a better quarterback until she's one of the tops in the league now. She does a good job back there.
So kickoff is here. We're at 34-14 with 3:51 left in the game, fielded back by the Quake. It looks like that's
Ninji Martin.
Ninji Martin.
Who is bowling her way up to the 44. She carried a couple of sirens with her for the last 6 or 8 yards.
And now it's time, Boo, where you just have to kind of throw it out there, take some chances. I mean, you really have nothing to lose at this point. There's only 3:43 left in the game, so you think we're going to see some air balls here?
Yeah, I think the Quake are going to have to put it up and see what they can make work. But, you know, Coons will be back there at quarterback, and she's got to make good decisions. I mean, a turnover here is just salt in the wound at this point. The Quake have to concentrate on making something good happen. I mean, obviously there's no 20-point play, so they can't score it all at once. They just need to, you know, take it one play at a time and make something good happen. Now, Havoc is taking the direct snap, like at the beginning of the game. And
that looks,
it's a flea flicker back to
hesitation. Ball's up in the air. And
her receiver, I think Singletary was the intended receiver, who got tied up a little bit with her defender and couldn't fight her way loose. Again, Singletary lacked the aggressiveness on that play. She really needed to shed her defender and run down the field, and she just wasn't able to do that.
Well, it almost looks like they were running their main set, their offset eye there. But,
Coons up on the end of the line, and Havoc's the sole in the backfield taking a direct snap, so it's the Wildcat set. Now Havoc runs it to the right.
And breaking free.
Finds a hole.
Oh, ball is down. It's a fumble into the hands of the Sirens, player number 7. Holy smokes, Boo.
I think what Havoc was trying to do there was she saw Nenji trailing the play and was trying to lateral it to her, but by the time she flipped the ball out there, there was nobody out there but white jerseys. And number 7 for the Sirens.
Keisha
kicked it up, and now it's Sirens ball at the 40. That was an odd.
So what happened there, ladies and gentlemen? Again, what looked to be a great play by Mims running down. She fumbles the ball up right into the hands of number 7, Keisha Harris, on the Sirens, and so it's another turn. It's a turnover, and the Sirens are going to take over at their own 40, and that pretty much
that'll seal the fate of these teams. Yeah, number 3 comes out for a quarterback for the Sirens, and I think they're putting in most of their second stringers by now.
So Amber Mitchell taking over at the helm for the Sirens.
No, I still see Quan in the backfield, though. And again, it's a single wing set. Quan takes the handoff, powers through the middle, where she's met with a host of Quake, about a half-yard gain on that play.
It goes back to my pregame conversation with Coach Penn. I mean, he's saying, you know, this year so far, this team is trying to gel and the chemistry is trying to get built. A lot of these things are just simple mistakes here, a misread there, a simple error in execution there. So you have to think that at some point during the season, the luck of the Quake is going to turn around. They're going to start getting more shots.
Very, very close. They're just missing on a couple of things that, you know, they've had a little bad luck and they've had a few, misplays and missed opportunities. And like a team like Los Angeles, they got beaten badly by the Amazons in the first game while they didn't play that bad of a game. Here's a handoff to, that's number 23, is loose down the left sidelines. However, there is a flag on the play. This is going for a touchdown, number 23. This will be called back because there was a blatant hold on the line there that sprung her open, and that will be called back.
And that's just
what been against the Sirens.
Would have been insult to injury there. I mean, for
The reason that play went for 70 yards is because, you know, somebody got tied up illegally. You know that wouldn't have happened if the hold hadn't occurred. So that's a good call. Anyway, so we were saying, yeah, the Quake, the chemistry on the Quake is it's a little different from last year, and it's you know, it's a little harder to for everybody to bring everything together when you've had a couple of tough losses. But this team is really, it's so close, and the gals are really hanging tough together, even though they've suffered some adversity this year. And, you know, I'm really proud of them. You know, last week was at Los Angeles. They played the Amazons for the second time after getting beaten badly by them in week one. And, again, it was a bad first quarter last week. And then the gals, you know, and that was a really easy point where they could have given up, and they didn't. Instead, they pulled it together, and they really got it going on the sidelines, and they played the Amazons tough for the next three quarters, and it was a joy to see. And, you know, it was just that bad first quarter. They couldn't overcome the, you know, spotting them that many points, but I was so proud of them, and it was a great game to watch.
Well, and it's all about positive progression. I mean, Coach Penn was saying, you know, this is a team that, you know, he wants to see little improvements week by week, and he's seen that the team is starting to come together. There's more cohesion. The chemistry is starting to build. Mm-hmm. And if you look at a game like tonight, you know, the scoreboard is not very reflective of how the game has gone. It's really been a much more close game than the scoreboard shows. And it's not until this last quarter here on a couple big plays that the Sirens have widened it out. But this has been a tight game all the way through.
Yeah, and I think that's a tribute also to the Sirens' conditioning. I think they've really been playing as strong in the fourth quarter as they did in the first. And, you know, good on them. They've done the work, and it's paying off for them in the fourth quarter. But, you know, as you say, this game doesn't really reflect the scoreboard. The Quake really didn't get blown out in this game until this last couple of series where they haven't been looking as sharp as they did in the first bit.
So we are at the two-minute warning here and getting ready to get back underway.
That's number 20 with the ball, and she spins out of a tackle on the right side. Ball carrier number 20 is Amy Williams, gain of about 6 yards for the Sirens. That'll bring up a third and five.
The next game for the California Quake, May 23rd versus the Modesto Maniacs, and they'll turn around the week after that and play the Maniacs again. So here in Downey, May 23rd. And then up in Modesto, at Modesto, on May 30th. And then New Mexico Menace on June 6th. And it looks like a pretty favorable schedule, though, for the Quake coming
easy,
up.
It's easy going for the Quake from here on out. It's I'm expecting these gals to go 4-4. That's my prediction for the year. Here's a run to the left side. Here's number 23, the ball carrier again. Nenji Martin with a tackle. But after a gain of about 10, that'll bring up a first down for the Quake, for the Sirens.
And after that strong tackle by Martin, looks like the player's down.
Yeah. Nenji drove her into the ground a little bit, and I'm afraid it might be it looked like she was leading with her shoulder. That's number 23 is Noriko Kokura. Oh, and that's why Betty came running over to her, because these may be the two players on the teams that speak Japanese, and there may be some translating going on here.
So we never like to see a player go down. Looks like she was driven into the ground. Perhaps the wind knocked out of her. We shall see. But she's being attended to right now.
Yes. So you were saying the Modesto Maniacs on May 23rd. That is going to be Japan night here and our final home game here at Downey Stadium. So we will have the kids, activities for the kids. We will have karate demonstrations and sushi and all things Japanese. I'm not really sure what all the Quake have in store, but it's going to be a festive occasion. Come on out for our final home game here on May 23rd at Downey High School.
All you had to tell me was sushi.
Yeah.
That's that.
And there you go.
That's all it takes.
You know, my sister moved to Missouri a few years back, and whenever she comes to visit California, sushi is always on the list of things that she has to get while visiting, because you can't get good sushi in Missouri.
No, absolutely not. But we're going to have good sushi here May 23rd.
There's three things that she always wants. It's good Mexican food, sushi, and an In-N-Out burger.
Tell you what.
There it is. So, okay, player is off the field, and the Sirens are lining it up in a kneel-down formation at this point.
Less than a minute to play. We're at 55 seconds left in the game. Clock is ticking, and we are winding down here on what – barring some sort of miracle, I don't even know if it's possible at this point, but the Sirens will go on to victory here.
Well, the Sirens are doing the classy thing by kneeling it down and not trying to run up the score. And the Sirens always have been a classy team. They, the Sirens and the Quake have been playing in the same league from back before we were in the IWFL, and we're proud to be in the league with them. They're a good team, good opponents here tonight, and they're going to come away with a 34-14 victory over your California Quake.
Well, another loss in the taking the loss column there for the Quake, but I definitely think that the coaching staff is going to be happy with certain elements of this game, the way that these ladies hung in there.
There were some very positive things tonight. The Quake played very, very well with a couple of breakdowns on a couple of occasions, but there were many positive things to take away from tonight. Coaches will look at the film and see good things and be able to use this as another lesson for the players, and the team will come back stronger for it.
And that is it, ladies and gentlemen. It's official now. As time has wound down, it is officially a 34-14 victory for the Sacramento Sirens. And Boo, just based on your observations here, what do you take away from this game? What do the Quake need to work on in practice going into next? Well, not next week is a bye, but going into their next game against the Maniacs.
Well, one of the things I'd really like to see, not just the Quake, but a bunch of teams working on more special teams. It is a third of the game after all, and it seems like there's still a lot of miscues and a lot of juggling balls on kickoffs and punts and things like that. But I think the Quake are heading in the right direction, and they just need to work on the passing game a little bit more. Coons is still missing their targets, and the receivers aren't quite where they ought to be. And I'm not a coach. I'm not really sure quite what they should do to fix everything. But I like what I'm seeing with these gals, and I'm hanging with them. You know, I'm always purple at heart.
Well, it was definitely a close game right to the end, and some exciting football. You know, based on the last meeting between these teams, everyone expected a blowout, except for perhaps the Quake, and you saw that on the field. I mean, it was really an impressive stance against statistically a better team.
That's what happened last week too. Is after the Amazons took care of the Quake in week one, everybody expected a blowout the second time that they met, except for the Quake, and they knew that they'd be competitive in that game, and they were. They sort of didn't hang in the first quarter, and then they hung in for the rest of the three quarters and proved something to themselves. Then I think they're proving something to themselves tonight too. Is this team that beat them 40-0 in week two? Now they hung in with them for most of the game.
And ladies and gentlemen, just want to remind you to tune in to Coach Penn's show Third and Long. That takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific time. You can check that out at WFBTalkContinues.com. Again, that's Third and Long with Coach Penn, Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific time at WFBTalkContinues.com. So I want to thank our good friend Boo for being us here. And
thank you. It's been a pleasure to work with you.
It's been a lot of fun, sitting up here and getting your insight on the team and the game, and definitely look forward to more this season. And ladies and gentlemen, that is it from down in California, where the California Quake came up a bit short, 34-14 to the Sacramento Sirens. We'll see you again soon. Thanks for tuning in.